Bill, can you, I'm trying to join the meeting with my laptop. Can you let me in?
Oh, yes.
You can hear me, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning, Sensei.
Good morning.
Probably in the beginning of the week, this phrase entered my mind, which the phrase is Midnight Howling at the Moon, which I thought was from a rock and roll tune, but I could not find it anywhere. So the thing that did grab me, though, was the moon, the full moon in particular. So just before I go into the moon and to talk about the moon, I just want to read this little thing that I found online. Okay, so it says, according to law, on a full moon night, wolves upturn their heads towards the moon and communicate with it by howling. Now, I had a volunteer to howl, but she chickened out. So there'll be no howling. So the moon, the full moon in particular, appears throughout Zen and Buddhist history as a metaphor for a clear mind, the enlightened mind. And so I'm going to just read a little bit. It mentions sacred poetry, and sacred poetry are poems that are spiritual and speak to our heart. They're also poems that take us beyond our usual experience of reality. So in sacred poetry, and particularly in Zen poetry, it is the blissful state that reveals itself as a shining light which permeates the still mind. It's a lot of words, so I'll say it one more time. In sacred poetry, particularly in Zen poetry, the moon is the blissful state that reveals itself as a shining light which permeates the still mind. And there is a sense of light from an undefined silence, a fullness of vitality and deepness. So the full moon is, as I said, enlightenment, and we usually refer to it as being clear and bright. And it's a soft light that illuminates the land below when all is at rest. So I'm just going to share two sacred poems. Each is related to the moon. I'm not going to explain them, or the metaphors in them and what they're pointing to, but I'm just going to share them with you. And the first one is Monkey is Reaching. The monkey is reaching for the moon in the water. Until death overtakes him, he'll never give up. If he'd let go the branch and disappear in the deep pool, the whole world would shine with dazzling pureness. Now there's a, don't remember where I saw it, but there's a calligraphy slash painting. And it's a monkey hanging from a tree with one hand and with his other hand reaching down to the water to try and grasp the full moon. Sounds like my life. The second poem is by Kabir, and it's called The Moon Shines in My Body. The moon shines in my body, but my blind eyes cannot see it. The moon is within me, and so is the sun. The unstruck drum of eternity is sounded within me, but my deaf ears cannot see. So long as beings clamor for the I and the mine, their work is for naught. When all love of I and the mind is dead, then the work of the Lord is done. So those would be considered sacred poems. This is a famous haiku, and I don't remember who wrote it. The haiku is, the cuckoo calls, and through the great bamboo grove, I see the moon. And I remember when somebody once told me that they saw the full moon. This is one evening. And they saw the full moon, you know, sort of behind clouds that were moving slowly by. And then some time later that night, they witnessed a full moon. I'm sorry, they witnessed a lunar eclipse. After the full moon, they witnessed a lunar eclipse. And then at sunrise, the same moon hung low in the western sky. Now, this is one of those things that I don't really know how to explain, but ever since I was very young, I felt some connection to the moon. And it was not something that really, I guess, could be described in words, but whatever this affinity was, this attraction was, started when I was young. Now, in Buddhism, our true nature is hidden the way the clouded, covered moon is hidden. And when the clouds disperse, everything is illuminated. And Buddha was sometimes referred to as the bright moon who illuminates the world. This is another famous passage, and this one is by Dogen. Enlightenment is like the moon reflected on the water. The moon does not get wet, nor is the water broken. Although its light is wide and great, the moon is reflected even in a puddle an inch wide. The whole moon and the entire sky are reflected in a dewdrop on a blade of grass. So there's one moon and many reflections. And the bright light of the moon reveals many forms. At the same time, there is just one moon. Right? The light of the moon reveals everything, all the different forms, but it's still one moon. And so all things have their individual expression, and yet at the very same time, they're expressionless. So there is a saying, and this one is probably pretty familiar to you. It's called, "Don't confuse the finger pointing at the moon with the moon itself." Now, Thich Hat Nhan says this about that statement. "The finger is necessary to know where to look for the moon. But if you mistake the finger for the moon itself, you will never know the real moon." Our Zen teachings point toward our true nature. But if we confuse the teachings about true nature with true nature itself, we will never know our true nature. We should always remember that literary expressions, no matter how beautiful or inspiring, should not be confused with the direct experience. One evening, a Zen student was looking at a full moon. And at a certain point when he was looking at the moon, just like that happens, his mind stopped and there was just moon. But it didn't stop there, right? That's only the beginning. Next, any notion of moon dropped away. And there was no longer any describer or any description. It was as if the moon and the student were as one. And then even further, as one faded away. As soon as the student begins to recount his or her experience, they are then creating the finger pointing at the moon. This is important. We must keep pouring ourselves out of anything that can limit our direct experience. I'd like to end with a prose poem that I can't attribute to anyone, but it's entitled Full Moon Zazen. There is a full moon tonight. I sat outside for Zazen. The sky was clear and the air was crisp. Everything in my garden had a sheen to it. Wind rustled softly through the leaves. Geese honked and I heard their wings cutting the air. A bird chirped somewhere in the shrub. A woman walked past and called out for her dog. I heard a car starting and driving away. Some small animal moved on the ground not far from me. The air felt cold in my nose, and it cleared my mind. Thank you. And so I'll see you later.